Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. You can thank yourself, most importantly, for what you're going to learn this evening. You don't get it anywhere else but the Hour of the Time. Now, if you'd like to contact us, it is Hour of the Time, or HOTT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, if you'd like to share questions, research, complaints, what have you, is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have on with us something that many of you longtime listeners know of, the expertise of Hour of the Time on symbolism, ranging everywhere from the mystery of Melchizedek to the astral flame, do the preeminent series on symbolism, the 43 Hours of Mystery Babylon. And we're going to revisit some of those topics so that you newer listeners or people have just missed some of it have something to work with again. And we're going to cover other topics as well. So I have a guest on this evening with us, and he has been very helpful to me and courteous and kind. And I asked him to help us and the listenership out by being on the air and giving some of his vast, which is just a drop in the bucket, trust me, after talking to him at length, it's just a drop in the bucket what you're getting of his knowledge of symbolism. So I'm going to bring Carl on the line here. Carl, are you there? Carl? Okay, Carl, are you there?
Hello.
Okay, there we go. Good deal. Hey, Carl, we just had the phone lines like we discussed earlier.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. We're good to go now, though. So, Carl, you've got a wealth of knowledge, and it was really neat discussing with you on the phone a lot of the topics, because a lot of it is new, and a lot of it just simply dovetailed in exactly with what we've done on the air. And rather than being a Lone Ranger here and a Lone Ranger over there getting called a kook, this just validates a lot of the research. And it's something people need to understand, because there is, as you can will be relaying, there's a lot of powers that be, if you will, behind the scenes that control the very life and structure of this world. And you're here to expose some of that. So why don't we, you have some very interesting information that goes in perfectly with a bunch of our research concerning the bar and symbolism of legal ease, if you will, and from England and on up into America, etc. Why don't we start there, Carl?
Okay. The present legal situation here in this country, in America, and for the most part around the world as well, through that Hague and through the international courts, through the Germanic tribes and Germanic nations over there, it started for here in America through the bar, the temple bars, over in the city of London. The city of London is not part of London, England. It is a separate entity altogether, and it was set up as a business or a sorting house for the big business and the manipulation and world control of populations and people. and they look down on the people as owned property or beasts of burden, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you get into the magic of words and numbers and letters, there is magic encoded in everything that's done. And there are three kinds of magic. There's the white magic, the black magic, and then the true magic. True magic is life. That's what it is. It's our continuation of life and life. But back to these temple bars, this is where the lords and their representatives met after each session that they had in London, England, as they planned what they were going to do next to the populace, to the poor people. And they gave them the illusion of justice and judgment and freedom, when in fact it was all laid down very carefully, and the encoded in the words that they used is what took place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see the state bar associations, and that goes back to the British Admiralty Registry, and you'll see a reference throughout the meanings of the words, the birth canal, which is, again, back to the water and the birth canal, and the Oval Office,
mm-hmm.
So on and so forth. Everywhere you look, you'll find these little traces and trails, and they do lead back to the original lords and of the realm in England that ultimately stemmed out of Germany under the Saxe-Goldburg-Gothi. Now, that Goldburg-Gothi is the Tudor kings and queens that came in, and when King Henry VIII came and took over the rule of England, he actually stole it and took it away from the true rightful rulers of England, which were the Angevins and the Plantagenets.
Mm-hmm.
They were the northern, Norman kings and queens, the last of which, when King Henry VIII took over, was Margaret Pole. She was of the six-fingered bloodline, which are the Angevins and the Plantagenets, the ancient type O six-fingered bloodline. And that is the original Ancient of Days bloodline for our species and this earth. We'll get off into that later at another point in time, so that we don't jump into too many topics here, because it does lead every which way and every up, down, sideways. Doesn't matter where we go. It all leads into a perfect mosaic picture of what has taken place, what is taking place, and what, most importantly, what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
Rulers in England set up primarily through John Dee, which was the original 007 agent for the Queen. It goes off into the East India, British East India Company, and the big business companies. Those were in turn controlled by the advisors around each figurehead, and this went into every country. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about England, Spain, Portugal. The royal families are more just figureheads. They are blue bloods, what they call blue bloods,
mm-hmm.
and that's because they do suffer from inbreeding and the blue blood bloodline, which goes off into porphyria, and the werewolf's disease, and the drinkers of blood, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The advisors around these people are the ones in the shadows that manipulate and control them as well, without their being fully aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the advisors go back into the Jesuits, which are the houses of Jesus, which were brought forth by the Jesuits about 400-something years ago, when they introduced the name Jesus into the religious writings and teachings. Each of these groups have what they call the craft guilds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back to the word gilding, it means to lay over or overlay in gold.
Mm-hmm.
It's a base metal or a base product that is fancified and dressed up and polished up to look like it's really something when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the idols. So when you get off into this Gog and Magog, if you'll check with Michael B. Clark down there in Texas,
mm-hmm.
He has pictures of the statues of Gog and Magog that are in the temple in London, England. and those are available through him if you want to contact him.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, Michael had done a lot of work with us in the past, and we're gonna get something to him so he'll, you know, kind of give us some of these pictures and stuff that he's gathered up since the last time we've talked to him. Now, Carl, what I think people may not realize is significant is the fact that many of the root words for what people take as everyday terms now in law go back to that esoteric, and they have esoteric meanings, everything from magistrate to the Oval Office to the bar to the, you know, the temples. And what did they share at the temple bars? You know, spirits. So could you cover some of those more esoteric root words?
Spirits, that's where they went to drink their spirits, mm-hmm. if you will. And that spiritual contamination or perversion is changing of the water, which is the water of life. Anytime you see the water in the religious writings, it is a reference to the DNA and the genetics, mm-hmm. which are the waters of life. They pervert them to spirits, i.e., the changing of water to wine. Is the wine tastes great when you first start drinking it, and you feel great when you're partying and all that, but it does lead to total extinction and destruction.
Yes.
And that's another symbolism about the perversion to our very genetics of life.
Well, and you know, some of the other terms, like the Oval Office, and the, like you said, you mentioned the canal, and that's another significant one people don't realize, and the very root word and origins of magistrate. Why don't you give those to the audience?
Yeah, the root word of magistrate goes back to the Magi, which are the three wise men supposedly that came to Jesus' coronation or birth. And they call themselves the Magistrates. They sit in their little courts of justice, quote-unquote, and I use that term loosely, because they are set up and expressly run by their lawyers and their judges and their courts to extract everything from the poor people while giving them the illusion of freedom or free will and so on.
Exactly. And, you know, that when you look at, well, like some of the very meanings of how you have to worship, etc., or you bow to the magistrate and you stand up when they enter and leave, I think the very definition of that is important for the audience to understand, Carl.
Well, that goes back into the worship, where you are required to worship. If you'll go into the root word meanings of worship, you'll find that it means to prostrate yourself, get down on your hands and knees, and lick the hand and the feet of the one that feeds you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reference back to the dogs,
mm-hmm.
and the regurgitated vomit of the dogs, the regurgitated pablum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the teachings, if you will, or the training that we receive from the so-called experts and the religious leaders and so on that are supposedly there to save us and watch over us and so forth.
And
salvation comes from yourself. And you have to work out your own salvation in great fear and trembling, because there is no Savior that's going to show up at the last second and save you or any of your family.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, something significant about the trembling and the fear and the pablum, etc., you know, these are words that people will hear in passing in legal proceedings, for instance, and not even realize where they come from. They oftentimes... legal rantings going back and forth, Carl, use pablum, etc., but actually it goes back far, far back to the worship, etc. You know, something else that people may not realize is, you know, crossing the bar, etc., some of those definitions, and even how these legal esoteric terms from the temples, from the esoteric teachings, how they've carried into other aspects of the horn and the unicorn, etc. Maybe you ought to get into some of that.
Okay, the horn and the unicorn goes off into the cornucopia.
Mm-hmm.
Cornucopia means the coupling of the corns, and that is sex between the mothers and the fathers of the unique corns. The unique corns are the oxes are the alphs of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It goes back into the bisons of the Native Americans. I am Choctaw, Cherokee, and Irish is my extraction. The bisons are the twin sons, bisons, that you see in the scriptures and the religious writings and teachings. When you get off into those two sons, you'll understand the myths and the legends about the two sons. And that is the Hegelian dialectic, where they set up a Hegelian dialectic. They go into even one unique religion, if you will, and they'll split that up so that they can get the two sides to argue while they sit in the background and control both sides, and they sit and feast on the literal flesh and blood of you and your families in this process.
Yes.
And it goes back to the predator alien that fell from heaven and that is devouring the people. That's what it goes back to.
Now, Carl, we had discussed various things concerning the legal aspects that originate in esoteric and symbolic writings and symbolism. And I think it's significant how a ton of these can be taken clear back to the temples in Egypt, and that, you know, the those first, what you could call the origins of the priesthood, the modern priesthood, the temple of the assassins and the brotherhood of the snake, etc. You know, you have some very good research on those very temples in Egypt and the tablets and the obelisk. I think the audience would really like to hear some of that, Carl.
Okay, the temples of the assassins, that comes from the Hessians, or the assassins, and those are the dope smokers that they had. They would smoke dope and smoke hashish. That's where the word hashish stems from. And it made them fearless warriors. They didn't care if they got killed or not when they got hopped up on this dope, and they would actually go out and be sent on missions to eliminate anyone that they wanted to eliminate that was a threat to them. The temples themselves were set up expressly by the very religious leaders that claim to be your saviors or leading you to salvation. Those are the ones that substituted the word Christ or the term Christ, which means the anointed one, for the Messiah. Messiah simply means the messenger, the one with the message. They came and said, well, the Messiah or the Christ, the anointed one, because they did the anointing, therefore they ruled behind the thrones and behind the warriors' kingdoms that were set up. They ruled the kings and the warriors and the people as well by this deception and this lie. So that's why you see all the sacrificial rites that they required, and those are always blood rites. If you'll notice, you sacrifice your blood, your literal flesh and blood, your children, and your bodies as well. Present yourself a living sacrifice to the God, you see.
Yeah.
And it's all about the sacrificial rites. And in doing so, the day you accept those lies, and they are lies, and they stem from it a lie, Italy, and Rome, the Vatican, which is a separate state as well over there. And that's why we see they have an agreement with the New World Order people in every country in the world, and they do this sit at the UN. And it goes back through the Temple of Zeus, the Jesuits, the House of Jesus, and Jesus is Healer Zeus, or Little Zeus. That's what the name means. The real shocker is Jesus, or Little Zeus, is in fact Lucifer, the angel or the bearer of light. Now, that is going to shock some of these people that will listen to the program, and they may have a tendency to say, wow, this is too much for me, I can't handle it. If that turns out to be the case, then I suggest that they tune out and go turn their boob tube on and get loaded up with some more deception and lies and wait for their destruction, because that's what lies just ahead for everyone if they don't come out of it now.
And, Carl, you know, that's the whole thing, is when people get into if they dare to get into the original meanings of much of our symbolism and everyday legal words and what's become the foundation of modern society, terms and structures, and they see where they came from, the original priesthood that was claiming to be your savior, etc., and they see the root words, they'll often say, oh, I can't, that's just, there's no way that's possible. All they have to do is go do some of their own research. Much of it, they didn't, much of the original priesthood's writings, they didn't hide. It's out there if a person will go and look at, you know, for instance, the Great Pyramid. There's tablets galore. And, you know, we've got a couple books that we had discussed in previous, and some of them are harder than others to get. For instance, The Secret of the Great Pyramid or The Symbolic Prophecy of the Great Pyramid. And those, if you look at their origins, like The Symbolic Prophecy of the Great Pyramid, that itself was written by another secret society, by H. Spencer Lewis. And that's the Grand Supreme Lodge of the AMORC. And they use much of that interpretive writing in their structure and symbology and their rigmarole, if you will, and ceremony. And we follow it to a great extent in courtrooms. And people just let it go right over their heads.
Well, the courts are set up so that you do not have any true justice or judgment, nor any true putting forth of evidence. That idiot judge that's sitting up there claiming to be the all-seeing, almighty magi that he requires you to bow to and pray to, that's pray the court and all this other crap that they put out. That is a show. It's on with the show, folks. It's a big opera that's put on to convince you that you do have recourse for the damage that's being done to you and your families and your country and your world as well, and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact you don't. You are the victims of these bastards, and I know that some will take offense at that word.
Mm-hmm.
But get over it, folks. If you're going to go to the pit for the want of a word or the meaning of a word, then indeed you deserve exactly what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to wake up now, take the scales out of your eyes, rub the sleep out of your eyes, and look around you at everything that's taking place, not only here on this earth, but in the heavens as well,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to see signs that will amaze you as you see them unfold.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, right along those lines, Carl, to a certain extent, as people get into and research this much more, the tie between the Jesuits and the Nazis and, you know, the Germanic lodges that are the origins of much of the court proceedings and the legalese esoteric terms that people see around them and just take for granted, the bar itself and within a courtroom and having to cross the bar. Or sitting on the witness stand, for instance. Much of that came from because, for instance, the Jesuits and Nazis are essentially one and the same. So
indeed they are. And it goes back long before the Romans came along, even.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Sumer and the Sumerians and the Babylonians and all the way through. And it is the evil and the wicked ones who went in league with the alien, the fallen alien, and were willing to trade you and your life for their little positions of what they perceive as power or egotistical positions at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done. They have sacrificed you and your families and the whole world and the environment as well. However, in that process, they have sacrificed themselves as well because they are nothing more than a tool used by the alien being as it tried to usurp and regain what it had lost eons ago, and that's the ability to create.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to creation, Doyle. Mm-hmm. Creation is not a one-time magical finger wave from some supposed little god sitting on a golden throne somewhere. Creation is from generation to generation, and it is amongst the mothers and the fathers of the children. The children are our creations, and we are the creators from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, much of their the very root words of the study of how a bloodline is carry on, genetics, etc., goes back to more esoteric terms like the genitor concept, or
it goes back to the king and the queen.
Yes, the king and two queens, isn't it?
Yeah, the king and two queens.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the king and the term king and the term queen, it leads back to genes and genetics.
Mm-hmm.
Genes and genetics are the waters of life, and those are from Mother Nature and Mother Earth. The Earth is the clay, and Mother Nature is the water from the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the earth and the clay and the water.
And
that goes back to the Egyptian hieroglyphs. As you go through these Egyptian hieroglyphs, no one understands that one picture is worth many millions of words.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go through and see the pictures and the numerology as well that's associated, you'll come to the understanding of what really took place and what is happening, and connect your own dots and draw your own pictures. Anytime anyone, it doesn't matter whether it's me or anybody else, comes to you and professes to be revealing truths to you, or to be leading you, or to be giving you the truth, search that with your own spirit, because that's that little voice inside you that says, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. That is part of your own instincts that are passed down. It's a genetic code that you alone have.
Mm-hmm.
You are unique. There's not another Doyle like you. You may have named Doyle around, but there's no more Doyle like you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one. And the same with everyone else. Those instincts, they don't like to hear us say instincts, because that's a reference to the beast or the animal. The animal and the beast, we are all animals and beasts until we rise above this deplorable condition that we have been led to and bred down to.
Well, that's, that is utter truth there, because they themselves, the ones that would call themselves the Luciferians or the Masters of the Earth or the Illumined Ones, refer to us as beasts of burdens in their own writings.
Well, sure.
And
because we are nothing more than a means to Lucifer's ends, which is to regain what it lost when it originally turned away from the absolute truth eons ago. And that is the ability to create. Lucifer is a he-she. It is a male-female hermaphrodite that is neither male nor female. It is an it.
Exactly.
The thing of naught.
Exactly. And that's just it, Carl. When people look at this, they'll often not understand the ceremonies and the worshipness of those who would call themselves Luciferians and the Grand Lodges and the priesthood, the Illumined Ones, that all of their idols and what they worship are all hermaphroditic in origin.
Yeah, they're the cults of death, is what they are, and they come and try to convince you that dying is a part of gaining your resurrection and everlasting life. Well, that dying is the only forever you will get.
Mm-hmm.
That is their promised salvation, is death. And that's why you see back in Revelation, he that overcometh I will give to sit with me in the kingdom in paradise. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And that overcoming is death.
Mm-hmm.
But they convince these people to sacrifice themselves and their lives and hate their lives and hate themselves. And he said, don't love the earth or anything in the earth. And yet he turns right around and says, well, my father so loved the earth he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
And so on.
Mm-hmm.
And they get you in a position to where they claim everything is a mystery, a deep, dark mystery, and you'll never understand it, so just don't even try. Just sit back and relax and let them lead you and guide you to salvation. They are the very predators and parasites that are feasting on you and your children and your families and the earth and the environment and all life as well.
And, that's really the crux, Carl, when you look at a lot of what the priesthood does, whether that be in ancient times or modern times. They led the cultures to believe eons ago and today that you're not capable of understanding our secret esoteric. We're going to put it out there in front of you, but you can't understand it, so you need to allow us to transliterate it, not just translate it, but also transliterate it, and we'll lead you down the path that you need to take. And it's really about control of the human populace. That's what it comes down to. Symbolism is a tool of control and manipulation.
It's total control from the moment of conception and before, in fact, as they medicate the mothers from the pharmakia and the sorcerers. That's where pharmakia comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Sorcerers. The sorcerers, if you look the word sorcerer up, it means to cut in pieces or source out or part out.
Yes.
If you'll remember the pot that's put on to boil and the parts are cut up and thrown into the pot and they boil it and they skim off the scum and there's a piece of an ear left here and a piece of this, that left there. This is what we're talking about, and it is the literal harvesting of the humanity and human population. We have been the prey to the predator, so-called lords, gods, and angels.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to find this truth for yourself, one has to be able to go where the lords, gods, and angels fear to tread.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll come to the truth and begin to understand the truth. Once you get on this rabbit trail, that's what it is, it's a rabbit trail, and you come to a blockage, then you have to back up and say, wait a minute, something's wrong here. Well, this doesn't agree with this over here. Well, you'll start looking back and you'll see that they have changed the words, or they have changed the meanings of the words, or they have instituted the footnotes rather than true scripture, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you back up and start examining all of that and the root word meanings and the various meanings that are extant in the pictures and the words as well, and even off into the letters, then you gain who did what when, what the changes were made, and why and how. And it's all to keep the deception and the lie going so that they can overcome and become the masters of the universe that they claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
That masters of the universe is insane. They are insane. We have the insane running the asylum for us, and they're leading us all to extinction.
Yep, exactly. Now, Carl, you know, you hit on something that many people may not realize, that through the manipulation and instituting their writings or meanings all the way down to individual alphabet to symbols, to statements and phrases, all the way up to actions and ceremonies, they have been able to manipulate and turn people the directions that are necessary at the time. Now, you know, you mentioned sacrifice, and it does go back to, and a lot of the words, all the way back to the beginning of the original priesthood, the worship, the magi, the magistrates, the canal, the birth canal itself is symbolic, the oval, office as an ovary, the origin of power and birthright. But, you know, they've instituted it as well, and I don't think people fully understand this, in just a lot of the symbols you see associated with holidays and the phrases and actions and ceremonies we follow. And it's not just in the legal side, it's also in the holiday side, Carl. Some of that is very neat, and I think the people need to hear that again, because we haven't done a lot of these broadcasts for a few years on Hour of the Time. And why don't you go over some of those? You know, the very meaning of the cornucopia and the springing forth of the food and rites, etc.
The word holiday comes from the holy days,
mm-hmm.
and that's from the holy ones, who are the very ones that are destroying and usurping all of humanity and destroying the earth and the environment as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the word holy day or Hollywood goes mm-hmm. back to the holly staff that was used by the wizards and the druids, Celtic and Celtic priests.
Mm-hmm.
If you get off into the Arthurian legends about King Arthur,
mm-hmm.
you'll see encoded in that some of that esoteric stuff that they used. Now, when you get off into the druids, the word druid means oak wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the oak wisdom is a reference to the great oak tree and the true royal seed of first creation, the Ancient of Days creation. You'll see some of that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 13, I believe, 11, 12, or 13, somewhere in there. That is a reference to the tree in the midst of the garden, you see, back in Genesis and throughout the scriptures, the tree that God, quote-unquote, told you to stay away from. That is the tree of the wisdom of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
If you fail to learn good and evil, then you are doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that effectively takes away your freedom of choice and your true free will, and that's when you rely on the so-called experts to lead you and guide you to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones that usurp and manipulate and use you as they control you from the cradle to the grave, because you are nothing more than a product to them. That's why you see the word human resource.
Yes.
You are a resource now.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you submit to these bastards and acquiesce to them, then they have you and they do what they wish with you as they try to manipulate and control the whole of humanity and all life on the planet. And they have come to the total extinction that we face just ahead of us now. So if not enough people realize this and arise and put an end to these bastards once and for all time, then indeed we have total extinction on this planet. If it comes down to that, there will be a mere handful that will be taken up literally. And I don't mean the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
The rapture is the raptors.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the very word raptor.
Yep.
And those are the ones that feast on the dead bodies. Where the dead bodies are, the raptors will gather.
Yep.
And that's what we're talking about there.
Well, the rapture itself was just an invention of the French Blue Lodges. It's not an old concept even. Again, yeah. Back to the mystery schools.
Yeah, it comes through the hawks and the raptors that they use in their hunting festivals and things as well.
Now, I think... Oh, sorry, Carl. Go ahead and finish that thought, and then I wanted you to cover something, because, you know, it is an Arthurian legend. It is in so many legends, and people see it all around them, and they make sure that their little daughters get to hang up and collect all sorts of neat little unicorns, and it's a unihorn. Why don't you finish your thoughts there and get into that and some of those origins?
Okay, that unicorn... And the acorn of the oak
mm-hmm.
are tied together.
Mm-hmm.
And it all goes back to the cornu. If you look up the root words of cornu,
mm-hmm.
and it is the corn plant or the maize,
mm-hmm.
and you have to separate yourself out and find yourself through the maize.
Mm-hmm.
These are all connected now, so understand that. And it goes back to the horns of the altar, or the unicorn horn, which is the single horn, or unique horn.
Mm-hmm.
And it all goes back to genetics.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is genetics.
And you know, Carl, that is the, you know, what I don't think people realize is the fact that if you look at American Indian cultures, we'll be the most evident when we bring this up, but there's several cultures that worship the mother and father aspect of the two corns. As being the root of genetics, and if you look at modern day study, most of what we know about genetics today, 90% of the basis of that was from the Nazis and the Jesuits. And the corn plant was the number one studied item to figure out this genetics, and which got its name from the genitor concept. And it leads us to today, and people don't even realize that Mayas, the Indian word for corn,
yeah.
And the root of maize.
Yes.
Yes. And where does that lead people if they'll just do a little research?
That will lead them to the concept of the cornucopia,
mm-hmm.
which we see extant at the day of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Thursday, which is Thursday.
Thursday.
We get off into the myths and legends about the ancient gods and goddesses and so on and so forth. Those are all intimately connected to everything that's taking place. And they will come along and manipulate and change the very esoteric meanings so that they can lead you one way or the other. And if you take the wrong crossroads,
mm-hmm.
then you will go to the extinction. And mm-hmm. that's what they had hoped to achieve, the Luciferians had hoped to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
They did have plans of moving off the planet onto bases that they do have on the moon and on Mars and go underground up there and survive this pole reversal cycle. The pole reversal cycle is a short-term cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It lasts for a few years. The major cycle that they never knew about up until I sent out the first extinction cycle letters to the governments from San Quentin Prison. I spent 6.5 years in prison over this. They tried to shut me up and keep me quiet, but I refused to shut up and I refused to keep quiet. They offered me money to shut up and go away, and I told them to kiss my big A.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sell my people or my country or my Mother Nature and Mother Earth. And I refuse to. I will never give that up. That's my own integrity with life, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, those letters were first sent out on 7/11/91
mm-hmm.
from San Quentin Prison.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll take the time to look up the Aztec and Mayan prophecies about the date of 7/11/91 and the solar eclipse that took place on that date, it is part of the legend and the myths of the sixth dragon sun.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll understand part of what's taking place.
Now,
back to the Druids and the Celts and the Celts, the mere mistranslation of one word in the Holy Grail legend
mm-hmm.
that was done by the Jesuits, i.e. the religious leaders and the priests, and that's Cors Bonoi and Cors Bonoit,
mm-hmm.
led to the inclusion of Jesus, who is Healer Zeus, who is Lucifer, into the legend of the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail is not the pursuit of a golden cup, as the most would surmise and that they've been trained to believe.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in fact, the restoration of our genes and our genetics and our gene pool of the Ancient of Days genes so that we can continue life. We are literally going to die from our genes as they stand now, let alone from the environmental destructions and everything that's coming. So it goes so deep and so quickly here that it will amaze you at what's taking place right under your very eyes. And when you become aware of these things, folks, you're going to disbelieve your own eyes as you see them unfold. True reality is now dawning. The veil is being ripped in the temples and everything else from the top to the bottom. And when you find out what these so-called religions and religious leaders have done to you, I assure you, each of you will cry out for blood. And these idiots, imbeciles, and fools, that's what they are, before it's all said and done, they are going to be running and hiding and trying to preserve their own little lives for what they have done to you, your children, your environment, and the whole of humanity, and in fact, all life.
You know, and you got to touch on something earlier, Carl, that, a lot of people may not realize. It's just right in front of them. The fact of Vatican City being its own autonomous entity in the world system under the Luciferians, the world system as in the World Bank, the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund, and having a vote and standing alone as a separate entity, not a country per se, but a powerful entity, and the it of it a lie, the origins of Italy, and the black nobility, and the black sun, and the black sea. Can you cover that?
Jesuits, and prior to the Jesuits, the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith, the Catholic religion, if you will, they are the Luciferians. In every case throughout history, our immediate history, because we have been on this planet for 3 billion years, with a B, 3 billion years. It goes back into Atlantis and the fall of Atlantis, and we'll get into some of that at a future time, or possibly later in this talk if we have the time to do it. religious organization, which stemmed out of Rome when Rome morphed into the Catholic Church, and they sent out their emissaries worldwide on their discovery trips, and mainly for trade. It all goes back to the company and trade and big business, and the harvesting of the products, including the human species, as a commodity to be bought and sold for profit. In every case, they went into the poor countries and the Native American countries, the native countries of whatever continent. They immediately set up their missions and their little, what do they call them, mission churches.
Mm-hmm.
They forced the indigenous people into these enclaves,
mm-hmm,
and made them work as slaves for mere subsistence.
Mm-hmm.
The natives that resisted these setups would revolt and leave and run away. They would send their henchmen out to collect them up if they could catch them and turn them and sell them as slaves. And that's how slavery got its start, through these merchants of flesh and blood is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a republican form of government, if you will. And then later on came the democratic societies, which are the demos. It comes from demos, demon craft, or demon power, or demon theology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the word democracy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
The present-day Hegelian dialectic of either Democrat or Republican is a staged show to take your attention away from what's really happening and make you actually believe that you have a say into what's happening. You do not, nor have you ever had since the first fall of Atlantis, and that took place 2.2 billion years ago. Everyone has been living the illusion and the perceived reality that's been arranged and brainwashed into them by these very esoteric religious leaders and business leaders that propose to be watching out for your welfare and taking care of you. They are the shepherds. A good shepherd will always watch over his sheep. He'll inoculate them, give them some good old mercury in their inoculations to keep them dumbed down. He'll feed them plenty of fluoride to keep them dumb. He'll keep them busy searching out that last little mouthful of grass all year long until the harvest day, and then he'll sit at his table. He'll lick his chops and eat the babies, drink their blood. He'll skin the sheep and hang the sheep skins on the wall. And then he'll count his bag full of money and say, man, this has been a great year. The harvest is great and the workers are few. So I look forward to the next season now.
And you know, Carl, that, you know, the very tool, the symbol that's been used to lead the sheep to slaughter is the black sheep. The same as the Fabian socialists use, the black sheep. The wolf in black sheep's clothing, the black nobility, the P2 lodges. Why don't you discuss some more of that in that very essence? And you know, a lot of the law symbolism, which is neat, and the Hollywood symbolism, and the holiday symbolism, all involves and a big part of how they trap you as an individual today is in corporate or company law, making you a straw man under corporate law, and the very roots of company and corporate, and guess whose magazine is called The Company?
The Jesuit magazine.
The Jesuit magazine is called The Company.
And the CIA is called The Company.
The Company, yep.
And when you get off into your religious writings, pay close attention to this company or that company or the company of hosts or the company of this, and that is a reference to it. Now, you're going to find, as you connect all these dots, that you'll find some very strange happenings and sayings everywhere. They're literally everywhere. No matter what society you were in or what country you were in or what myth or legend we're looking at, and you may think, wow, this can't be. In fact, it is, and it is all controlled and laid down originally by the Watchers, who are the true powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
And the Watchers are not the fallen ones.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make that mistake. If you'll do an in-depth study on the Watchers and the Fallen Ones, the sons of God that you see in Genesis chapter 6, then you'll begin to sort that out for yourself. Back to these black nobility bloodlines. There are two black nobility bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
And they, again, are the Hegelian dialectic. Now, the Queen of England was set up over there purposely for her role in the, in history and the queens and kings of England down through history. The real bad guys are the Jesuits, who are through Spain. In fact, the name Jesuit stems from the House of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesu, the House of Jesu, or the House of Jesus. The Nazis are in control and have been in control of the Catholic and the Roman Church since day one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's through mainly through their group of men that surrounded them from Switzerland that provide security for the popes and things in Rome.
And, you know, people I don't think realize or even question, they never understand and see what's on the news. You get to see it in plain of day. Who is standing guard at the Vatican?
Yeah, that's right.
It's the Swiss Guard.
There you go.
And they go, oh, well, that's, they got some neat uniforms. That's really neat, but we're here to hear the Pope speak. Well,
right.
Let's talk about the hat that the popery, and we'll get into that too,
okay.
But the hat that was worn in the very throne, and let's talk about Luce and what he tried to do.
Yeah, the hat that he's wearing, it's the Dagon, the fish god, and that's a representation of the fish's mouth at the top of the hat up there.
Mm-hmm.
And that again is back to the sea and the law of the sea and so on and so forth, the British Admiralty law.
Yes.
The hat has in the olden times had VIVIVI on it.
Yeah.
A ribbon across the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 666. And Henry Luce, the guy that started Time magazine, he at one point, I think it was in 47 or 48, somewhere there in that time frame, had published a picture of the Pope's throne with 666 carved on the back of it. They actually printed them up and published them and started distributing them. And then when they did, they immediately went through and started recalling, and they had to do another publication, and they pulled off all of those that were found. Occasionally now, ever so often, one of those will show up, and when it does, it's immediately grabbed and hidden away,
mm-hmm.
destroyed.
Now, you know what's interesting too, Carl, is when we get into this discussion concerning the Nazis and the control and the one and the same as the Jesuits, etc., you know, you can't help but notice the black nobility, the black sheep in symbolism. You can't help but notice the black sun and the black sea and the black star. And the comets crossed in the eye of Satan and directly over the Black Sea as far as coordinates go. Why don't you get into more of that? Because the Nazis themselves worshipped a black sun.
The black popes, this goes back to the black popes that are foretold in the prophecies and legends. The black popes are three, and that is Cardinal Ratzinger, the singing rat,
mm-hmm.
that is now the Pope. He's
mm-hmm.
a Benedictine.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of that black bloodline. And then we have Peter Hans Klovenbach, which is, I call him Klovenhoof. He is the Jesuit general,
yep.
and his five little underlings around him that order the popes and the churches what to do.
Uh-huh.
And then the real bad guy is John Negroponte.
Negroponte, that's exactly it, Carl.
And coded in his name is Negro Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Black Sun.
Yeah, and why don't you, because we've covered this and been called lunatics, so I'm glad to have a fellow lunatic verify.
Yeah.
Why don't you define the root words of Negro and Ponte?
Negro means Negro, or nigger, and that comes from Nigeria and the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
From the central part of Africa over there, just above Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Spanish and the Portuguese slave traders went in, and they made agreements with the black kings over there that ruled their tribes. And what they did, they got a Hegelian dialectic set up there. They got one king to war with another king, wink, wink, wink,
mm-hmm.
and they each kidnapped their other subjects and sold them into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, the Endives of Africa over there were making more money per year on the slave trade alone than the King and Queen of England were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how great that slavery trade was and how it came about.
And, you know, the very thing, Negro, to this day, well, not I can't say to this day, that sounds kind of odd, because it goes back ancient through Latin, etc., is the term you use in Spanish and many totally Latin-based languages like the Catholic Church for the term black.
Yes.
Now, Ponte, there's a Negro Ponte. Ponte, why don't you go over that, where that comes from?
That means the pontiff, or the papas, or the popery, or the father. That's why the Pope calls himself the father. And it goes down into Mount Popo in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The UFO sightings took place on 7/11/91, and that again is part of that prophecy of the Mayans and the Aztecs from 7/11/91.
Mm-hmm.
Now back to this Black Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Nostradamus put out a prophecy. I think it's Century 10, Quatrain number 62 or something like that. I can't remember it. I don't have my book in front of me here. For those that are into Nostradamus prophecies, he predicted the Great King of Terror would come in July of 99. In fact, that prophecy was of the last total solar eclipse of the sun of the old millennium, and it took place on August the 11th of 99, and Nostradamus did not factor in the missing 11 days of the calendar when the Gregorian calendar was adjusted with the missing 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
Solar eclipse crossed the coast of Cornwall, England.
Yep.
Notice the word Cornwall.
Mm-hmm.
At 11/11/11 on August the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So and that also crossed the Black Sea, in the center of the Black Sea. The excuse me. The first solar eclipse of the new millennium,
mm-hmm,
took place in March, I think, of 95. You have to look that up for me. I'm just going by memory here. It also crossed the Black Sea, and it made a cross in the middle of the Black Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Those two solar eclipses are signs and synchronicities and marks about the crossing of the comets as well, which took place in 96 and 97.
Yeah, that was
Hakatek
and Helbop.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hakatek crossed the same position that Helbop crossed on April the 11th of 96 and 97. And it goes back to April the 11th of 1940.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the day of Thanksgiving. It was a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And Thursday is the Thor's Day, or the day of Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
You can cross-reference this holy day, or if you want to call it that, or this day of Thanksgiving, with Nostradamus Century 1, Quatrain number 50 and 51. And those are the birth signs and the mention of the day of Thanksgiving of the true Messiah, the messenger, who is who and what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that may sound strange. I don't say that lightly. I don't say it to I merely make a statement, and each of you can accept or reject it as you will. Use your free spirit to sort it out for yourself and find your way through the maze so that you and your families may survive.
Now, Carl, I hate to do this, but we are at the end of our broadcast.
Okay.
So please hold the line, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to talk to you off air here. Ladies and gentlemen, again, our guest, Carl, and we're just scratching the surface on a lot of this symbology that Hour of the Time is known for, and we've done everything with symbology from trying to wake the sheeple up to causing stirs at all levels of governments or in the companies, like we just were talking about this evening. We're going to do more with Carl, and he's an excellent resource for materials. Don't call and ask me where he lives. I'm not going to send you to his house so you can assassinate him. So don't bother wasting yours or my time asking. Okay? Remember, Hour of the Time is listener supported. That's why you get this research without commercial interruption. And the only way you can support us is through the Hot Club, donate for the broadcast in CD or MP3 formats, or the broadcast of the entire month collections. Now, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, out of Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time, our website, hourofthetime.com, my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and the studio number, 928-333-2942.